Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. How important is God's Word to you? Is it the very foundation of everything that you do? Or is it an afterthought? Is the Word of God something that is nice for us on Sunday morning, but never gets cracked open the rest of the week? Do you each have a family Bible? And if you do, is it opened? Does it collect dust, or is it something that you peruse? Is it something that you study? Is it a piece of your family and your life? St. Paul wrote to Timothy in his second letter, he writes, "The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." And then he sends this young pastor a charge. He says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." For the last 2,000 years, even people that call themselves God's people desire that their ears get scratched. The Word of God is our holy desire. It is what God desires for our lives. Is the Word of God our norm? Is it our rule? Do we actually expect us to teach us how we are to live? Or do we go at the whims of our society? Dear child of God, you will be called every sort of phobe in the book, and some that have yet to be made up if you stand on the Word of God. But stand on it, you must. God's Word is sharper than any double-edged sword, we read. It is profitable. Yes, it rebukes us. When we read God's word, we have to actually change our own opinions. Do we want Jesus to be the Jesus that we want, the one that we make up, the social hippie that our society looks for? Or do we look to the scriptures and find who the true Jesus was, who the true Jesus is? Jesus is the Word made flesh. The eternal Word that is without beginning and without end took on flesh, and He is alive. Do we treat the Word as though it is just some dead document? As though it is not still living and active and breathing? And when I say a living document, I don't mean the type that you can change at your own whims. I mean a living document. The Word of God is what changes hearts. The Word of God changes us all. Do we believe that there is power in God's Word? We are feeble. We are broken. We are sinful. Our society is the same way. So do we allow the blind to lead the blind? Or do we allow the light and the truth to lead us? The Word acts as both a law to show us our sin, to condemn that way of life, and also as a gospel to build us back up, to acknowledge that in our own brokenness, God is still mightier than our sin. St. Paul writes in our epistle lesson these words, words that remind us of how powerful God is. St. Paul is writing this and he says, look, I'm going to list all of these things, but I am not boasting in myself. For who am I? Rather, I boast in the Lord. He said that God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So St. Paul said, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. The word of God is twisted left and right. The society does it. The devil does it, and he's been doing it since the beginning. Think about his temptation to Eve. He immediately twists God's word. He says, did God really say? The devil tries it in the temptation of Jesus as well. He twists God's word, and he does the same thing to you and me each and every day. Yes, this world is fallen. And we are sinners just because we have been conceived in that original sin of Adam. But that does not mean that we should follow the world. It is terribly tragic that so many that call themselves Christians, including churches and men who are supposed to be men of God, who lead churches away from the Word, who say, hey, let's scratch those ears. Let us rather entertain. Let us go with the whims of the world because that will draw them in. It's not what the Word does. The Word should permeate everything in the church. The Word is our foundation. We neglect the Word when we chase after the world. But the Word is the judge. Jesus Christ will judge on the last day. His word works. It is powerful, and it does not go out and return to him empty and void. Rather, as we read in our Old Testament lesson, much like the rain or the snow, it comes down and does exactly what God desires it to do. We are actors in this word. You do not need to be a pastor to proclaim what Jesus has done. You do not need to be called and ordained to tell your neighbors that Jesus Christ loved them so much that he suffered death on the cross for all of their failures and all of their mistakes, and that he has transformed us too. All Christians are a part of that light. Yes, the word works according to God's will. Jesus tells parables, and he shows us very clearly in this one why there are parables, what the intention of them are. You see, there are two different types of hearers with parables. There are those who are Christians who receive it and are built up, and those who are not, who have rejected the word of God, who do not have ears to hear his word. And so God turns them over to the stiffness of their necks and the hardness of their hearts. Jesus said, seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. And yet, the word is sown everywhere. It is thrown everywhere. Not every single person that you come into contact with, that you proclaim that word to, will become a Christian. And while I wish every single time the gospel was shared, every single person would come here with us, I know that is not the case. But that doesn't mean you should stop trying. Yes, God's word is at work. And Jesus explains just how it works. The parable is this, he says, the seed is the word of God. This is the seed that must be planted. the seed that is necessary to bring forth fruit. And there are some. In fact, there are many. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. If a person only hears that message the one time, maybe it's Christmas, maybe it's Easter, sometimes that's enough. But most of the times, the cares of this world, the devil's shouting in our ears, plug up our ears. And while you cannot help if a bird lands on your head, you can stop him from building a nest to plug your ears. The word is taken away. Those who would believe are not saved. And another group, he says, the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. How true this is. We must build a deep foundation. We must till the soil that it is prepared to receive. That is why it is so important that parents bring their children to church week after week, even before they are born, that the word of God may be heard, that the word of God may be planted, that when they are born, they are received into his kingdom, that the word takes on water and washes them clean. That they do not stop there, but that each and every day they are praying and they are reading and they are studying and they are reciting together the very word of God, that it might build them up. There's another group here too, ones that fell among thorns and are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. The seed must be watered, or it dies. The roots must go deep, or when times of burning scorchingness comes, they will burn up and fall away. And the thorns grow all around us. This culture doesn't help us in our faith. This world doesn't help us in our faith, but we should. We should help one another. We should build each other up. We should encourage one another to be here in his house. We should encourage one another to be in his word day after day, that when the devil attacks you, you are prepared for it. That you might give a defense for what you believe based on the word of God. It's true that many get confirmed and fall away. And it's true that many go off to college and are completely choked by this world. So maybe we need to be a little bit more intentional. Maybe instead of wringing our hands and saying, well, that's just the way it is, maybe we should be more active. Build up your brothers and sisters. Encourage parents with young children to raise them in the Lord. Encourage confirmands to continue service in the church, to continue helping their neighbors. And when it's time for a child to possibly go to college or university, go too. I don't mean move in with them or move to the community in which their college is, but what I mean is this. Before they make a decision, go with them. Check to make sure that there is a faithful, God-fearing, based on the word of God, church in that community. Don't expect them to find one for themselves, because all of their friends in the world will convince them otherwise. Go with them and teach them that they don't have to go, that there are plenty of opportunities that they may serve God in his kingdom right here, even in Waterford. That Waterford doesn't have to be just a bedroom community, but it can be a thriving place where the word of God has taken root, where the word of God is proclaimed to our neighbors, where we are joyful in this. Because, dear children of God, we should find joy. Our salvation is secure. Yes, there are many things that choke out faith. There are many things that desire our living souls. But there's also another group. The ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word of God, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. My prayer is that all of you here today, and myself included, are found in that group. That we are found in good soil, not because of who we are, not because we're nice people, but because that is who God has created us to be. That he has created our hearts to receive him, and that he has cut out those hearts of stone and put in living flesh. How do we know if we are Christians? How do we know if we will be saved? You will see that by their works. Bearing fruit is good works. A living faith produces living and active works. Works that we don't do to earn our salvation. Works that God has created us for. Ephesians tells us very clearly that we are his workmanship. He has created us for good works. So we don't boast in ourselves. We don't boast in our works because of who we are. Rather, we allow God to use us to be that light. That we do not hide that light. The next verse is this. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel and puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. Be active in your faith. Share the word with others, even if it gets you in trouble with HR. Be present. Be active. Let God's word rule your hearts and your minds, your thoughts and your actions. Even if it might mean to lose a job, be bold. Stand on God's word. Because at the end of the day, his word is what matters most. He gives us his word to read, to preach, to teach. He gives us his word attached to water to wash us. He gives us his word attached to bread and wine to feed us his body and blood. He gives us his word to announce that your sins have been washed and you are cleansed. Hear his word and believe. The church sings, "Preserve your word, O Savior, to us this latter day. And let your kingdom flourish, enlarge your church, we pray. O keep our faith from failing, keep hope's bright star aglow. Let nothing from truth turn us while living here below." Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.